प्रभुपाद की जय।
Oh my Lord, Namaha, offering my obeisances, Bhagavate, unto the personality of Godhead, Vasudevaya, unto Vasudeva, the son of Vasudeva. No, the son of Vasudeva. 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 Listen to the pronunciation. There's two words. Vasudeva, try to listen. Vasudeva and Vasudeva. Does everyone hear the difference? One is a, I'll just re-emphasize it a lot. Vasudeva, Vasudeva. Okay, you see the difference? Vasudeva, Vasudeva. And I'm going to go through these words later on and explain exactly what they mean, so I'm not going to do that right now. The translation is, the son of Vasudeva, or Lord Sri Krishna, the primeval Lord. You can repeat that. I guess you can't. The son of Vasudeva, or Lord Sri Krishna, the primeval Lord. Janmaadi. Creation, sustenance, and destruction.
Creation, sustenance, and destruction.
Asya. Of the manifested universes. Yataha. From whom? Anvayat. Directly. Itarata. Indirectly. Cha. And. Arteshu. Purposes. Abhigya.
Fully cognizant.
Swarat, fully independent. Tene, imparted. Brahma, the Vedic knowledge. Rida, consciousness of the heart. Yaha, one who. Adikavaye, unto the original created being. Muyante, are illusioned. Yat, about whom? Suryaha, great sages and demigods. Dejaha, fire. Vari, water. Mridam, earth. Yata, as much as. Vinimayaha, action and reaction. Yatra, whereupon. Trisargaha, three modes of creation. Creative faculties. Amrisha, almost factual. Damna, along with all transcendental paraphernalia. Swena, self-sufficiently. Sada, always. Nirasta, negation by absence. Kuakam, illusion. Sacham, truth. Param, absolute. Dhimahi, I do meditate upon. Okay, so the translation, quite lengthy. O my Lord, Sri Krishna, O son of Vasudeva, all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him to the material universes temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon Him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon Him, for He is the Absolute Truth. Wow. Okay, so I guess we should do this responsibly, and then we'll comment and read. It's going to take a long time to go over this verse. So please repeat, O my Lord Sri Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna,
Because He is the Absolute Truth,
and the prime evil cause of all causes,
of the creation sustenance,
and destruction of the manifested universes.
He is directly and indirectly conscious
of all manifestations.
And He is independent,
because there is no other cause
beyond Him.
It is He only
who first imparted the Vedic knowledge
unto the heart of Brahmaji,
the original living being.
By Him, even the great sages
and demigods are placed into illusion.
As one is bewildered
by the illusory representations
of water seen in fire
or land seen on water.
Only because of Him
do the material universes
temporarily manifested
by the reactions of the three modes of nature
appear factual,
although they are unreal.
I therefore meditate upon Him,
Lord Sri Krishna,
who is eternally existent
in the transcendental abode,
which is forever free
from the illusory representations
of the material world.
I meditate upon Him.
For He is the Absolute Truth.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Okay, so what we're going to do is just read one paragraph at a time and then comment on the verse and on the purport.
Obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Vasudeva directly indicate Lord Sri Krishna, who is the divine son of Vasudev and Devaki. This fact will be more explicitly explained later in the text of this work, where Sri Vyasadeva directly asserts that Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, and all others are His direct or indirect plenary portions or portions of the portion. Srila Jiva Goswami has even more explicitly explained the subject matter in his Krishna Sandarbha. And Brahma, the original living being, has explained the subject of Sri Krishna substantially in his treatise named Brahma Sanghita. In an Upanishad in the Samaveda, it is also stated that Lord Sri Krishna is the divine son of Devaki. Therefore, in this prayer, the first proposition holds that Lord Sri Krishna is the primeval Lord, and if any transcendental nomenclature is to be understood as belonging to the Absolute Personality of Godhead, it must be the name indicated by the word Krishna, which means the all-attractive. In Bhagavad Gita, in many places, the Lord asserts Himself to be the original Personality of Godhead, and this is confirmed by Arjuna,
who also cites great sages like Narada, Vyasa, and many others. In the Padma Purana, it is also stated that out of the innumerable names of the Lord, the name of Krishna is the principal one. Although Vasudeva indicates the plenary portion of the personality of Godhead, and although all the different forms of the Lord being identical with Vasudeva are thus indicated in this verse, the name Vasudeva particularly indicates Krishna, the divine son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Sri Krishna is always meditated upon by the Paramahamsas, who are the perfected ones among those in the renounced order of life. So we're going to start to comment on this. So, Om Gana Timiranda Shaganjana Shilakaya Chakshur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So what I'd like to do, of course, the purport is quite longer than this, so we can't finish the purport today, but we'll go over, let's say, one paragraph a day in the purport, is talk about the different words, analyze the different words in the verse here. So let's start with the first verse, first word, which is Om. I mean, many of you are familiar with the word Om. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna actually mentions this word. Does anyone know the verse? Starts with a P.
When he says he's the Pranava?
Yeah. What is the verse starts with a P. Anyone know the Sanskrit? Pranava Sarvavedeshu Shabdake Purusham Rishu. Pranava. I am the syllable Om, the Pranava, which is Maha. It's actually the Mahavakya, which is really interesting. Vakya means to speak. Maha means the great speech, or the important word in the Vedic literatures. The impersonalists, they have different words in the different phrases in the Vedic literatures they consider important, like tatvamasi. That's one of the main phrases the impersonalists have. Tatvamasi means you are that, which is actually a phrase in the Vedic literatures, and I'm going to describe what it means in a second. So, but we understand the Om is like the seed vibration of all the Vedic literatures, and even in the prayers, verses, and let's say the Samaveda and the Rig Veda. Samaveda, of course, is the Veda, one of the original Vedas of music, Samaveda. And the Rig Veda is the Rig Veda of prayers, generally to the demigods. As we know, the Vedic literatures have different parts to them there. Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, Nupasana Kanda. Karma Kanda means material upliftment in the gross stage. Jnana Kanda means like going for liberation or acquiring knowledge. And Upasana means to go higher. And usually that indicates worship of the Supreme Lord. So in all these prayers in the Rig Veda and the Samaveda, you have, they're preceded by the word Om, which is interesting. You'll find many scholars, so-called scholars, who say that, oh, the Rig Veda does not indicate or advocate worship of Vishnu as supreme, because there's all these demigods there. And actually the majority of the prayers are to the demigods. But there's this statement in the Rig Veda which counteracts these so-called scholars' opinions. It's Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Pada Pashanti Yat Suryaha. Some of you have heard that statement before. It means that all these demigods that are mentioned there in the Rig Veda, they're looking towards Vishnu, which is interesting. So sometimes they take a poll of which demigod has the most prayers in the Rig Veda, and of course that's Indra, and they say, well, Indra must be supreme. But that's not really how you indicate or you determine who is the Supreme Lord. For example, most of us, when we approach the government, don't approach the President of the United States. We approach the department to give us our driver's licenses, the tax department, and generally we're not approaching the President. So just because most of our approaches are to lesser personalities doesn't mean these lesser personalities are higher. So you can't just take a poll, say, you know, how many prayers are there to Indra in the Rig Veda, and that means Indra is supreme. You actually take this verse, that Om Tad Vishnu, etc., that Vishnu is supreme and all the demigods are looking to Vishnu. So this Om is considered to be very important, and the Vaishnavas, they analyze, especially Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, analyzes this this word Om in terms of the three syllables that comprise the word Om, that's A, U, and M. And actually, the way to properly pronounce Om is Om, like that. And so, it's not just Om, like we do in English. It's a nasal Om. And you'll see many of the, sometimes in the early days of the movement, we used to have people visiting the temple and Oming in the corner. I don't know if any of you remember that, you know. You'd be giving a, you'd give it a class and there'd be like four or five so-called yogis going, and using the mudras. This is the mudra that they use. You know, they put it on their knees. And we just say, wake up and listen to class. So anyway, so Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has analyzed this word Om, indicating the same thing as Hare Krishna. We're utilizing the three letters, the akshara, the three letters in the word Om, A-U-M, to indicate that Radha and Krishna are the living entities, which is interesting. Just like we have that indicated in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, right? Hare Krishna, Hare, of course, is Radharani. It's not Hare Krishna, it's Hare Krishna. Of course, you can say Hari. Hari is the name of Krishna. And it means he who takes everything away. So it's quite a dangerous name of Krishna to chant.
But he takes away misery too.
Yeah, but he also takes away Harishte. He takes away everything. According to, Prabhupada would be very fond of quoting this verse. What he states, that Krishna takes away everything that is an impediment in devotional service, which means basically that he may leave you penniless on the street so you chant Hare Krishna. Just like one of our favorite stories is the story of Draupadi, how Krishna actually took away all of her other shelter, all the other shelters she had in this material world, in this world. I mean, she was depending on her husbands, but her husbands, specifically Yudhisthira, gambled her away, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you think your husband's supposed to protect you, and then one day you discover your husband lost you in the gambling match? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. Any of you ladies, Dr. Lakshmi, if your husband gambled, would you be happy? He lost your house, he lost everything, and then he lost you. And then all of a sudden you became the possession of some demon?
Yeah.
A slave, yeah, possession, and then they want to disrobe you? I mean, come on. So basically, all of her shelter was taken away in this material world, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, these five husbands, you know, five strong, you know, being sane, Arjuna, the great bowman, Nakula, Sahadev, Yudhisthira, the very religious person who never told a lie, unfortunately. So, all of her shelter was taken away, and then Hariste Dhajanam Shanai. And that Prabhupada was fond of quoting that verse. He said, for those who I especially favor, I take away everything. And Prabhupada actually experienced that too in his own pastimes, that Krishna arranged for his business to become bankrupt, basically, for his wife to turn against his preaching, for even his godbrothers not to cooperate with him. And basically, I was just reading the Prabhupada...
His sons not to help him.
Yeah, sons not to help him. I was just reading the Prabhupada Lilamrita. His god, when he was working in his godbrother's ashram, his godbrother didn't even want to buy him a typewriter to type on. You know, he said, just write it out by hand when you give it into the printer. So, therefore, Hare means he who steals. And sometimes the Muslims chant Hari. That means stealing, and this way they're chanting Krishna's names. Anyway, so we chant Hare Krishna. Hare is Radharani. Krishna, Hare Radharani in the vocative, which means crying out for Radharani. Oh, energy of the Lord, oh, Srimati Radharani, please engage me, because you're crying out, so it's understood that you're involved in that too. You know, I'm crying out, you know, because when you have the word in the vocative tense, it indicates a person is crying out. I am crying out to you, Radharani, just like the word later on, Bhagavate, indicates I am doing something unto Bhagavan. So anyway, so Hare, and then Krishna, of course, is Krishna, obviously. And the word Krishna, Prabhupada indicates here is, in this purport we read today, is the attractive persons. These acharyas have analyzed that the word Krishna in many different ways. One way is that Krish means to attract. Just like we have the word in English, attractor, right? Some of you on the farm here use tractors. So that means something that pulls you. A tractor doesn't push, usually. I mean, I guess sometimes it may, if it has a front-end loader on it. But in general, it's called a tractor because it pulls. So, Krish means to attract or pull for your consciousness. Na is sometimes indicated as getting rid of all your material miseries or negating the material existence. So it attracts you, and that's also similar to the Bhagavad Gita verse, what Russell Varjan Rasha by having a higher taste, by being attracted to Krishna, then one gets rid of automatically the attractions to everything else in this world. So Om can be understood as the same as Hare Krishna Mahamantra, Radha Krishna and the living entities. So that's the first word here. And Om is quite important. Actually, another place that Krishna indicates the word Om in the Gita is where he talks about these three words that all sacrifices begin with. Does anyone remember the three words? Om Tat Sat. Does anyone know the meaning of those three words? And besides Om, we already went over. Sat is very easy because that means eternal. What does Tat mean? No. It refers to the verse Tatvamasi. You are that. In other words, you are of a spiritual nature who is a servant of Krishna, which is interesting, and you are eternal. And Krishna is also eternal. It's the same thing as that verse in Upanishads, Nicho Nichanam Chaitanas Chaitananam, that there is many plural eternals, and there is one supreme eternal, Eko Bahunam Yovadadati Kama, and the supreme eternal is maintaining all the plural eternals. I hope I'm not getting too philosophical in this class, but anyway, it's important to analyze each one of these words.
So then Krishna is actually maintaining each and every one of us?
Yes. Yeah, he's the maintainer. That's from the Upanishads. Nicho, Nichanam. That was one of Prabhupada's favorite verses to quote, Nicho, Nichanam. Nicho, there is an eternal. Nichanam, there are many eternals. Nicho, Nichanam, Chaitanas, Chaitananam. There are many conscious living entities. There's one supreme conscious living entity. Eko Bahunam Yovadadati Kama, and that supreme living entity, or supreme conscious living entity, who is Krishna, is maintaining all the plural living entities. Does that make sense? So, anyway, so Om Tat Sat can be analyzed to indicate that, because many times devotees read this, you know, Om Tat Sat, what does it mean, Om Tat Sat? You know, sometimes we even take prasadam and we say, Om Tat Sat, thanks a lot. So, after saying the prasadam prayer. But that's the meaning of Om Tat Sat, in case you need to know, and anyone happens to ask you. So there's Om, Sat means eternal, Tatvamasi, you are the same nature as that eternal person. Tatvamasi, which is, I explained before, the Mayavadis take Tatvamasi as one of their Mahavakyas, but without reference to Om. You know, Tatvamasi, they take it as meaning you are that. In other words, you are God. You know, that is not meant to be, that's not the meaning of that Tatvamasi, which does occur in the Vedas. It means you are of the same nature as the Supreme Lord. You have the same nature, but we talk about quality versus quantity. That's part of our important Siddhanta. That we have the same quality as the Lord, like Prabhupada said, a drop of the ocean water has the same quality as the whole ocean. I mean, for example, let's not even use an ocean in the example, because let's bring it down more to earth. Let's say, so you're taking a blood test. Someone takes your, anyone here ever have a blood test? No. No, you don't know what a blood test is. So in order to understand the constitution of your blood, do they take all your blood out? No, I don't think so. You'd be dead. So in order to understand your blood, they take a little sample. This much. Actually, the first time they took my blood, I fainted. That was when I was a kid. You know, I looked at, that's my blood. And I ended up on the floor. But you can understand all the blood in the body by just taking a little sample. So in the same way, you can understand the Supreme Lord's nature by understanding a little sample. It's the same nature. It's like we have a desire for eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And the Supreme Lord, and we have a desire to enjoy relationships. Right? I mean, that's what makes it fun in this world. Without relationships, there's no fun. Unless you happen to be an iconoclast or something. And unless you have some psychological problems. But generally, we enjoy different relationships. So the Lord enjoys relationships too. But the Lord's enjoyment of his relationships is pure. And our enjoyment when we're connected with the Lord is pure. And our enjoyment when we're not connected with the Lord is a source of misery. Anyway. So that's Tattvamasi. So everybody understands that? So it's important because to understand that expression in the Gita, Om Tat Sat, to explain why we use that, why it's important. Prabhupada did use that sometimes in his letters and other correspondences. Okay, so I think we touched upon Om enough, right?
Could you say that one more time, Maharaj? Om Tat Sat, what does it mean?
Okay, Om, I think we described Om in sufficient detail in this class so far, right? You know, Om is the Supreme Absolute Truth. It's the seed of all the other Vedic mantras. That's what Pranava means, the seed of all Vedic mantras. It means Krishna, Radha and Krishna, the living entities, which is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's none different than chanting Hare Krishna. I mean, sometimes even devotees, when they're doing the fire sacrifice, they precede the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with Om. You heard that? Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Although Prabhupada didn't do that, so but it's fine. There's nothing.
Is there some reason why the very first verse starts with Om?
Yeah, because that's the Maha Mantra. It's not different than the Maha Mantra. To indicate, and Prabhupada translates it here also as evocative, which is really important. Oh, my Lord. Vocative in Sanskrit or any language other than English, because we don't have these different tenses in English, means crying out. Means to cry out. Nominative means just the name. Just like the Hare Krishna mantra is in the vocative. Like Krishna is vocative. And Krishna's, let's see, what is that verse in the Bhagavatam? Ete Chang Sakala. Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna's is nominative. Nominative means name. Like if I say to Yogendra, what's your name? Yogendra, that's nominative. And if we had a vocative sense, which we don't have,
You could do it just by saying the name with a certain change at the end?
No, in English I would say, oh, Yogendra! Crying out for him. Hey, Yogendra! Not hey, that's an insult. But
well, unless it's in Sanskrit, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, then.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Govinda, hey, Gopal, Keshava Madhava, Dina Dayal. That's also a evocative way of doing evocative. Evocative means to cry out. So when you use the Om, A-U-M, in this sense, it's in the vocative. It's, oh my Lord. That's why Prabhupada translates it as, oh my Lord, instead of my Lord, or Lord. It's evocative. And so it's interesting. Just like in, if you go to Vrindavan, they're always chanting Radhe, Radhe. That's vocative also. It means, O Radharani, O Radharani. Radha is in the nominative, and Radhe is in the vocative. Does it, everyone understand that? So that's why in Vrindavan they don't say Radha, Radha. They say Radhe, Radhe. O Radharani, O Radharani. And one time I got in trouble saying that. I was in Govardhan. This is just a funny story. It has nothing to do with class. But anyway, I was in Govardhan, spending two weeks in Govardhan, and I became accustomed to greeting everybody saying, Radhe, Radhe. I mean, that's what you do there. And so then I went to Mayapur for the GBC meetings, and I forgot that I was in Mayapur. And so I started to greet some of my god brothers, you know, Radhe, Radhe. And I got chewed out, chastised, almost beaten up. You know, I thought I was going to die that day because I didn't say Hare Krishna. Anyway, sometimes you get in trouble in ISKCON by not being politically correct. So Radhe is vocative, and Om is vocative too. And the Hare Krishna mantra is vocative too.
And all that has to do with the language?
Yeah. Like the ending of the words, like Krishnas is nominative and Krishna is vocative. So we say Krishna. We're crying out for Krishna.
Why don't we say Krishnas is God?
Because in English we'd cut that out. Yeah. I mean, it also in the context it can be used as nominative. And sometimes, and we do all sorts of things combining Sanskrit and English. Like we say the avatars. You understand?
I hear what you're saying, but I don't understand what you're meaning.
Well, what I'm meaning is that sometimes we make a Sanskrit word plural by adding an English S to it.
Oh, okay.
Like gopis.
Gopis.
I don't remember right now, but you just don't add you just don't add an English S to make a Sanskrit word plural. You know, it just doesn't work like that. Although Prabhupada did it all the time. You know, talking about, Prabhupada once wrote a letter to Sasrum Maharaj, who was the temple president in Boston, Massachusetts, and he said, how are the gopis doing? And he was referring to the ladies in the temple. It's interesting, Prabhupada very seldom referred to ladies as mothers. He said, gopis. So you can call the ladies gopis.
But then he was also very fond of always quoting Chanakya Pandit's verse to refer to every woman.
One should see. One should see. The verse says one should see every woman other than one's wife as a mother. It doesn't say one should call everyone. There's a difference. That's what Chanakya's verse says. And sometimes, I mean, of course that's off subject matter, but sometimes it's really not that practical. Like if I'm talking to a girl that's like 20 years old, mother, you know, it gets a little weird. And then...
So you should see him like that, and not necessarily...
Well, I mean, sometimes you could see someone... I mean, there's a principle behind it, is that sometimes you could see someone who's like your daughter. Mm-hmm. You know, if you applied that literally, you'd have to see your daughter as mother. Because see, the verse says you should see every other woman other than your wife as your mother. And so it doesn't mention your daughter. So that means you should even see your daughter as your mother. And it doesn't compute in my mind. So there's a principle behind the injunction. Sometimes we apply an injunction ritualistically without understanding the principle. The principle is that you should define the relationship so it's not a lusty relationship. That's the principle behind it. So if you apply it, let's say, ritualistically, you're going to be calling a six-year-old girl your mother. You know, please come here. Oh, there's that mother. Huh? And then, you may get in trouble insulting young girls. Just like one time, a man came to the temple. He brought his wife, and I said, oh, that's your mother. And that was almost... a fatal decision, a fatal statement on my part. Your wife is your mother? I mean, homie, Hare Krishna. He said, no, it's my wife, Maharaj. And I said, oh, thank you very much. And I was gone. So, yeah, you have a question? Who called?
Manu.
Swayambhuva Manu. Called Devahuti.
He addressed her, I guess, out of affection.
Yeah.
Because I was assuming
that
it was a special case.
Yeah, it's a special case because if he saw her as a mother of... Actually, Chanakapanda says... You have to apply it in a certain way. The principle is to apply it in a certain way so you have a chaste relationship with the other person. That's the main thing. That's the main principle. And of course, Arjuna, when he was in the heavenly planets, used it with Urvasi and it worked pretty well, too well. She got really insulted. And then, you know, hell hath no fury, etc. And he got cursed to become a eunuch. Okay, any other questions about the points so far, the analyses so far about vocative, nominative?
Maharaj, could you please explain Om Tat Sat one more time?
Okay. Om Tat Sat. Om, we've already given the third description of the word Om. It refers to the Absolute Truth, Krishna Radharani, or Radharani and Krishna, the living entities. It's the seed mantra in all the Vedic literatures. It's what Prabhupada, here's another point, Prabhupada referred to when he was quoting from the Bible. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was Om. Prabhupada actually referred to it in that way. Of course, it is not the first thing that Krishna spoke to Lord Brahma in the universe. What was the first thing that Krishna said to Brahma in the universe? Tapa, engage in austerity. And then, that austerity, part of that austerity was that Lord Brahma was chanting Om. You know, it's not that Lord Brahma just completely didn't do anything, but he meditated on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Om. So anyway, so Om is an important word, and there's no harm in a devotee chanting Om, although we're supposed to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually it was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, that Om is non-different than Hare Krishna. It's just a different way of chanting Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. Although we chant Hare Krishna, we don't substitute, let's say, 16 rounds of Om on our beads. Om, 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 Om. Yeah, a lot faster. I can chant 192 rounds that way. So anyway, so getting back, I think I should also describe the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in this particular context. So we have Krishna, I mean Radha in the vocative, Krishna in the vocative. And does anyone know what Rama means?
The supreme enjoyer.
Yeah.
Reservoir of pleasure.
Reservoir of pleasure. Refers to Radha Raman. Yeah, and it also means, I mean, there's different ways of understanding it. Prabhupada also said it means Rama, the Lord Ram, Balaram, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who is known as the Rasacharya, because he always describes, not always, but generally describes things in terms of like a very intimate relationship between Radha and Krishna. Even he'll go through the verses in the Bhagavad Gita and describe it in terms of Rasa theology. That Radha Raman. I got Radhika Raman. Radha Raman. Anyway, so that's the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So I think we should just finish with this first line before we end class. And then, so Namo, that's very easy. Namo means offering obeisances. Any questions about that word? Like we have Namaskar. In Hindi, right? Off unto you. Namaskar. So, namaste unto you. And then Bhagavate is unto Bhagawan. And So is any, so what does Bhagavan mean? That's very easy for most of you, right? Yes, it's opulent. Bhaga means opulence or fortune. Sometimes it means fortune. Bhagavan. In that, like where the living entity is fortunate, isn't it? Brahmanda Bravate Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Bhai Bhakti Latapish. So it means opulence or fortune. And van means bhaga and van to be full of opulence. That's how we know Krishna is God. That's an explanation that Prabhupada gave. And also Parashara, that actually comes from Parashara Muni, who is the one who first analyzed this word Bhagavan. And he explains that there's six opulences. Does anyone know what the six opulences are?
Strength, wealth,
wait, strength, wealth, beauty,
wisdom, praise,
wait, wait a second. Start again.
Strength,
wealth,
beauty,
wisdom,
fame,
renunciation. So, and that means all of us are little Bhagavans. In other words, we have a little, not Bhagavan, we have a little Bhaga. We have a little strength, a little opulence, a little renunciation. It's like sometimes sannyasis are very proud of their renunciation, but they're not that renounced compared to Krishna. Anyway, so I guess we should give some example, as Prabhupada did, of each of these opulences. What's an example of Krishna's strength? Govardhan Hill. And what's an example of the strength of Balaram? Or Shesh? All the universes on his head, so they feel like what?
Mustard seeds.
Little mustard seeds.
Really,
yeah, he was pretty big. So that strength, and the next one was, let's take wealth. What? Yeah, and he owns everything. Yes, example of wealth. And then let's take a verse from the Isopanishad. Om Purnam. The Supreme Personality of God is perfectly complete. And he is so wealthy that even when he gives away wealth, he remains the complete whole. Even though so many complete emanations come from him. I mean, that's, can someone be so wealthy they give away money? Even Bill Gates, he gives away money, but it lessens his fortune. But Krishna is so wealthy, he gives away everything. You know, so many complete manifestations, such as this phenomenal world, appear or come from Krishna, and what? He remains complete. He doesn't lose anything. That's interesting. Okay, so we did strength, we did wealth. What's the next one? Renunciation. What's an example of Krishna's renunciation? Yeah, and Manjushri.
And he only asked for 3 steps of land.
Yeah, that's renunciation.
He's detached from all, he's aloof from all of us.
Yeah, from the whole material world.
Yeah, he reciprocates according to how we love him, but he's detached.
Yeah, he doesn't need us. That's pretty renounced. I like the first one with the gopis, because Krishna, did you know that Krishna was considered the best brahmachari? Even after he danced with all the gopis? Does everybody know that story?
No.
There's a whole story that the gopis, they wanted to cross the river to bring some milk products to Dvasa Muni, and they couldn't figure out how to cross the river. And Krishna said, just state very loudly that Krishna is a brahmachari. And they thought, this is a stupid statement. He's been dancing with us every night. So what happened is they stated and they were able to cross over the river. And then later on they asked Durvas, there's more to the story than that, but I don't have time to tell the whole story. They asked Durvas, what do you mean? Krishna's a brahmachari. And then even the example is, or the explanation is, that even though he was dancing with so many beautiful girls, most beautiful girls, in the middle of the night, there was no agitation or material attraction or any disturbance like anybody else would have. So that, therefore, he's very renounced. Okay, what are the other opulences that we missed?
Wisdom.
Oh, let's do wisdom first. What's an example of Krishna's wisdom? Yeah, he learned everything very, very quickly, like in 64 days or something, like he learned everything. And
he knows everything.
A big yacht, that's later mentioned here in this verse. A big yacht means he knows everything.
Instructions to Uddhava.
Instructions to Uddhava, Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. He says, basically, as a supreme, in the Bhagavad Gita, he says, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I know everything. You know, past, present, and future. He's Trikala Gya. That means, all right, so what other opulences did we miss?
Beauty.
Beauty, okay. And give an example of that.
The name Krishna, the all-attractive.
Yeah, Krishna's all-attractive, and what Rupa Goswami says, if you all desire, at all desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love, don't go to see Krishna. He's playing his flute on the bank of the Keshi Ghat. So Krishna is so attractive. I mean, I'll give you an example from Ramanujacharya's pastimes. It's a very quick story. That once upon a time, there was a man who was worshipping his girlfriend. And he was fanning her with a chamara fan and holding an umbrella over her head. And Ramanujacharya asked him, you know, why are you doing that? He said, because she has beautiful eyes. And then Ramanujacharya said, I'll show you someone with more beautiful eyes tonight. So he took him to see the deity, and then the man fell in love with the deity. And then he still got married to his wife. So, that's beauty. What else did we miss? What
fame.
Okay, who's more famous than God? Even the atheists talk about him. Isn't it? I mean, the atheists spend all their time, people write books trying to dissuade people from believing in God. So even if you hate him, he's famous. All right, did we leave any out? What's fame, renunciation, wisdom, strength, beauty? I think we got them all. Okay, and then just the final word, and then we'll end class in this introduction to the verse. Vasudevaya. Unto Vasudev. Vasudev, the word Vasudev with a long A means Krishna, who is all-pervading, basically. The person who is all-pervading, and Vasudev, with a short A, means the father of Krishna. And when you have Vasudevaya, it means unto that particular person. Okay, so any questions or comments? I don't want to go out forever. Yeah.
You yeah. Mentioning about Hari, and what came to my mind, how he takes away.
Yeah.
When Prabhupada first came, he was at hardly anything, but then I was just watching on the video following Srila Prabhupada on the 11th or 12th, and then he's going down 76 down Fifth Avenue in such royalty and such opulence, and there's thousands of people worshiping him, and so many people, you know, seeing Lord Jagannath, and he could see how, you know, Krishna, he took away, you know, he didn't,
That's a nice example. Like Prabhupada's father told him. Does anyone know what Prabhupada's father told Prabhupada? Mm-hmm. Krishna has what?
How many?
No, 10. Prabhupada's father told him Krishna has 10 arms and hands, and if he wants to take something away from you, you can't protect yourself. And he wants to give you something, you can't keep yourself from getting that particular thing. Can you imagine a pickpocket with 10 arms or 10 hands? So that's Krishna. Hariste taddanam shanai. That for those who I especially favor, I take away things. So they're left like Draupadi. I mean, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. Like Draupadi, just like, All she could do is say, hey, Krishna Govinda, you know, and then Krishna provided the sari. But until she came to that point, she was still struggling with Dushyant, right? Krishna was thinking, well, let her come to that point. And she was thinking, I can still fight against these really strong men. I mean, they're big, humongous kshatriyas. So in the same way, we are also very proud thinking that we can do it on our own. We have great intelligence. We can fight against Maya. You know, I'm a sannyasi. I'm so great. But Krishna will show us, ultimately, that we have to take shelter of him. I mean, sometimes, yeah, I mean, I'll give you a practical example of my own life. Sometimes, you know, things in my service become so intense. I think, what's the solution? And then I just have to go, Krishna, help. And that's the point Krishna brings all of us to, ultimately. And one funny story, I was just telling this at the GBC meeting, that one time there was a problem in one of the areas in my zonal responsibility, It was a temple president I wanted to get rid of. Not here, don't worry. And it was in a different country. And the politics was so intense, I couldn't get him out of his position. I mean, he basically wasn't following the principles, but there were political considerations involving trustees and everything like that. And I was thinking, what am I going to do? And I tried my best. Nothing worked. Finally, I sent a letter to Mayapur, please do a puja to Lord Nrsingadev to get rid of him. I'm not suggesting you do that if you want to get rid of someone. And so they had a whole puja, you know, om, get rid of, swaha, whatever the Vedic mantra is, I don't know. But they had a whole puja, and then eventually there was a very nice devotee who came and took over the temple, and the other temple president was hasta la vista, as they say in Spanish. I mean, and he's still a devotee, but it was just, it wasn't working out because he wasn't following the principles. So ultimately it brought me to that point, that's the point I was making, of just saying, Krishna, you know, my intelligence is exhausted, my strength is exhausted, my authority is exhausted, and all I can do is say, Krishna, I surrender to you, help. And then Prabhupada said that's the way we should be chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, isn't it? Like a child crying out to his mother. And in the verse, of course, that statement refers to is Aye Nanda Tunuja Kinkaram. Everybody knows that verse? Aye Nanda Tunuja Kinkaram Paditam Mam Bishame Bhavam Budo. Kripya tava pada pankajas tita duli sadrasamba chintaya. O son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant, but somehow or other I have been captured in this horrible ocean, the direct translation, this horrible ocean of material birth and death. Please fix me up as one of the atoms at your lotus feet. In other words, save me. So, you know, if we find ourselves in those situations, and that's special mercy of Krishna when we find ourselves in such a situation like that. Instead of taking shelter of our mundane intelligence or getting depressed or getting anxiety, committing suicide, we should just go, Krishna, I can't do it anymore. Krishna, help. And then Krishna will help, like he did with Draupadi. So any other questions before we end class today?
The te on the end of a Sanskrit word means refer to someone else?
In Bhagavate it does, yeah. Unto Bhagavan.
Or namaste.
Namaste unto you. Namaste unto you. Okay. Unto you. Bhagavate. Bhagavan. Bhagavate. Unto Bhagavan. Yeah. English is quite limited because we don't have all these different conjugations and tenses like they do even in other modern languages. I mean, if you look at Spanish, for example, they have a familiar you and a formal you. In most languages they do, actually.
We used to be and thou were familiar.
Yeah, well, that's Old English, yeah. Thee and thou. Imagine if I went to Yogindra. Thou. What hast thou done? probably wouldn't understand what I was saying. Yeah, but we don't, in English, English is just like a very good language for business.
Just quick communication.
Yeah, it's quick communication. It's a very efficient language for business. It's not that good for philosophy. German's good for philosophy. German is actually much better for philosophy. Like Prabhupada said, also Prabhupada said, German sounds like barking dogs. But if you... I don't want to insult anyone, but that's Prabhupada's statement. You know, Prabhupada said, and actually when I go to Germany, I sort of emphasize that. I say, Achtung! Like that. It's attention. Attention, you know, attention. So, and Prabhupada said, French is the language for love, which is true. That's why they're called the Romance languages, like French, Italian, Portuguese, Spanish. These are all Romance languages, and it's very poetic. Yeah, Roman, but they're called Romance, too. Now they're called Romance in English, because you'll find love songs. Yeah, they're Roman derivatives. Yeah, they come from Rome. Roman, but they're Latin. They're actually Latin. But they're Romance languages because they're very good for romance. Like, you find a lot of love songs. English doesn't quite make it for love songs.
Tell that to a country western
singer. Yeah, but that's... I mean, oh, I miss Peggy Sue, you know, I'm so blue. That's not so romantic in my mind. But if you listen to the... Anyway, each and every language has its specific purpose. Sanskrit is very specific, good for philosophy. It's good for everything. It's good for humor. It's good for romance. Like, if you read some of the works of the Goswamis, like the Vidagna Madhava, Lalita Madhava by Rupa Goswami, you see there's a lot of double entendres in their works. That means, double entendre means Krishna says something and it can be understood in like a million different ways. Like Prabhupada gives the example where Radharani says, you know, to Krishna, where's your vas? That's from the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Krishna thinks that Radharani's talking about dress, and then Krishna takes it in a different way, like residence or something like that. And so there's a lot of different ways to understand the word, just by changing the pronunciation or the different context in Sanskrit. So it's very good with poetics. When you get into the Vidagdha Madhava, the Lita Madhava, the other works of Rupa Goswami, they use it all the time. There's like several different ways of understanding a specific phrase. English, sometimes you can do it, but generally it's a good bit, like Prabhupada said, English is a good business language. You know, that's why the Englishmen are business. And, you know, we're also business too. Anyway, any other questions or comments? Or arguments? Or problems? Anyway, it's time for prasadam. All glories to His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai.